Tell you, my brothers and sisters, I never thought I'd be as old as I am. A lot of my friends that I came up with, they gone on to be with the Lord. But by the grace and mercy of God, he decided to leave me here. Oh, Lord. Sometimes some of them was way better than me, I thought. But God knows. He knows the heart, and he knows what he has prepared for you. Every one of us, the Lord has something for us. And if you haven't got to it yet, just keep on. Keep on trusting him. Keep on praising him. Keep on lifting him up. Keep on studying his word. And he will show you where he wants you to be and what he wants you to do. Thank God, seniors, for being a senior.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time.
This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the Gospel in plain English.
I want to talk with you on the subject titled, The Presence and Power of God. Two things, the presence and power of God. If you recall, we started this year by letting everyone know, by permission of the Holy Spirit, this year shall be a year of dominion. In case you miss it, every sermon that I've preached this year is to enable you to take dominion. We wanted for you to learn how to walk in dominion. And Sunday after Sunday, I share with you the keys that you would need to dominate your world. If you remember, we talk about topics like how to overcome. We talked about restoration. We talk about how to conduct yourself when you're going through a storm. We talk about how to wrestle and win. Every discussion this year is about how to have dominion. We talked about your healing. We talked about your faith in God. We talked about your freedom. We even talked about how to gain sight so you can see and not walk around with blurry eyes. Today I want to add to that list. I want to give you two resources that are called the presence of God and the power of God. So now you see how we arrive on this subject matter. Again, I repeat, I am speaking about the presence and the power of God. My assignment today, I will tell you what is the presence of God. I will tell you about the power of God. then I will share with you why you need the presence of God. I will explain to you why you need the power of God. And then I will make sure I show you how to obtain, how to get his presence, and how to get his power. So I encourage you to please pay attention, because it's not enough to be saved. You need to mature in Christ. Before I tell you about the presence and power of God, please permit me to remind you the importance of you and I being born again. Why is that important? Because most of my teachings are premised on the first base of Christianity, that you and I must first be a Christian, that you and I must be born again. You know the story. One gentleman by the name Nicodemus came to see Jesus one day, and he wanted to know what he needed to do to inherit the kingdom of God. That's a fancy word of saying he came to Jesus to find out, what do I need to do to dominate? I want to live in dominion. Tell me the secret. Now, in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 3, you see the answer that Jesus gave to him. Jesus said to him, except a man or a woman is born again, that person cannot see the kingdom of God. So it's very important that you are born again. Amen. It's very, very important that you are saved, because Jesus, the Son of God, says the key for you to inherit the kingdom of God, the rule of God in your life, where you're living above all the mess in this world, you must be born again. How do you get born again? First, you have to recognize that you're a sinner. A lot of you go around thinking you are that. But you are lying to yourself. All of us have sinned. According to Scripture, we have come short of the glory of God. Am I in the book? So don't think just because you've been coming to church since 1902 and you wear a big cross on your neck and you carry a big Bible, you're better than the rest of us. No, we're all in the same boat. We must be born again. Not only do you need to recognize that you're a sinner, then you need to repent. That's recognizing that I messed up. Lord, I need your help. Give me another chance. And my brothers, my sisters, then you have to invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart. The Bible says you have to believe in Jesus, and you have to confess him with your mouth. And if you will do that, you shall be saved. I can close my book and go home, because that is a message by itself. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you must be born again. But I got to warn all of us, because many of you, while I'm speaking to young people, I got to take time to help the adults too. Many of you here, you think you're born again, but you're not. and the Lord sent you a pastor. I can barely speak English. I have a thick accent. But the Lord knows exactly what you need in this community. You think you are saved, but you're not saved. How did I know this? Many of you think if you just baptize, you get baptized, you think you're saved. Many of you think if you just pray the prayer of salvation, you got a preacher to lead you, repeat after me, and you went through that, so you think you're saved. Some of you think if you just shake the preacher's hand, you see all the mess going on in our neck of the wood. Many of you even think if you just sign a card, some churches, they have a card for you to fill out. And then some of you think if you have your name on the church roll, you're saved. You'll be amazed how many of you looking at me right now, watching me online, listening on radio, you're not saved. And the Lord sends some stranger to tell you that blunt truth. And it's so significant because in times like these, you need a Savior. Not only for this life, but for the life to come. Are you still here this morning? How do you know when you are saved? It's very simple. Being saved is all about transformation. And if you are being transformed, it will leave evidence. The problem is that we are professing to be saved, but there is no evidence of it. I'm trying to help my young people today, you know. Let me give you some signs so that you know you're not saved. The reason why I'm discussing this, I don't want these kids to be like you and me. I don't want them to have religion and have no relationship with God. You can tell you're not saved if you have no hunger for the things of God. You may be going to church. You may even have a big Bible. You may be singing in the choir. Some of you, you give to church. Some of you, you are serving as deacons and deaconesses. But that don't mean you're saved. In fact, you may be preaching, hey, don't turn me off. You know God sent me here. You can be preaching and you're not saved. How did I know that? Jesus testified in the Bible that some of you will come before him and say, I do this. I was active in the church. I was an usher. I was the one running the sound. I was on the camera. I gave. I was the security for the pastor. Some of you will say, I've been preaching since 1902. And Jesus will say, depart from me. I don't know you. So please, I'm warning you in the name of Jesus Christ. Ask yourself, if you say you are saved, deep down within you, why is it that you have no hunger for things of God? Amen. Why is it that you have no craving for the truth? Amen. You have no desire to get on the potter's wheel and be molded and be shaped. You come to church when you feel like it. So don't fool yourself thinking you're saved. You can tell a person's spiritual condition by what they feed on. Amen. Just like healthy people, healthy body craves for healthy food. Am I right about it? So our soul that is born again will crave for spiritual nourishment. You don't serve God as if this is just a hobby that you come when you feel like it. Some of you profess you are saved, but you've never been to any prayer meeting. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, you know what the Bible says? It says, as newborn babies, you ought to be desiring what? Milk of the word. That's how you know people are saved. Just because I'm preaching, that don't mean I'm saved. People that are saved, they act safely. Are you listening to me? The Lord just blessed me with a grandbaby. You know one thing I noticed? Thank you. You know one thing I noticed about that baby? He desires food. And when he doesn't get it, he cries. You can tell when he's hungry. That's what the Bible is talking about. Newborn babies, spiritual babies too, you ought to be hungry for the word of God. Are you still here? People who are born again, they want to hear God. They want to know God. They want to obey God. They want to serve God. Take an inventory of yourself. Do you really want to know God? Do you really want to serve God? Do you really want to obey God? People that are saved, they delight in the word of God. Amen. They don't ignore the word of God. They delight. They are hungry. You can see, you can say, this sister is on fire for the Lord. This brother is hungry for the things of God. I'm talking about consistent pull towards God. So please don't let all this denominational stuff fool you. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. This is what we believe. This is our doctrine. Who care about your doctrine? Jesus said, if you want to inherit the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Amen. You know the problem with many churches? They are teaching about feelings and not the truth. Amen. Can you handle the truth this morning? But feelings come and go. It's the truth that will remain forever. So don't go through life having a good religion. Make sure you're born again. That's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Not your fables, not religion, not opinion. He said, preach the word. Are you still here this morning? I never will forget I had an encounter with all the leadership here, and I told them, you can call this church whatever you want, but I want this church to be a world church. That's all I want to know about this church. The word of God. Grass will wither. Flowers will fade, but it's the word of God that will stand forever. So you have to be a man or a woman who is hungry for the things of the world. You know how you can tell you're not born again? When you make a career out of sinning, you're comfortable sinning. I'm not talking about people that are struggling, and in your heart you're repenting, in your heart you're crying out for help. The Lord understands that. Some of you, you're dealing with addictions. But in your heart, you knew this is not right. You are pouring your heart out to God. God will meet you at the level. So that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about those of you who think you're saved, but you are comfortable doing wrong. You have no remorse when you do wrong. You have no conviction. You say, yes, I'm baptized. I've been baptized, Rev. Yes, I sing in the choir, Rev. I'm a deacon. Really? You must be born again. I haven't preached my sermon yet. I'm just letting you know what it takes to have dominion. You have to reach the first base before you can get to the second or the third base. And the first base, in fact, one time, I don't know what got to me. I say, you are almost insane if you're not saved. Because without that, it's like building a house with no foundation. Are you all still here? If you're born again, even when you mess up, it will grieve your heart. You don't need no police to tell you you're wrong. The Spirit of God in you will convict you. Some of you go around church, you think you're God's police. You better sit down. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wrong and it doesn't grieve your heart, that ought to tell you right there that the Holy Spirit is not living inside of you. I ought to tell you right there, you're not saved. I don't care what you're doing in the church. You're not saved. According to the Bible, the cross that we sing about, that we talk about, cut you off from old stuff. Are you all still here this morning? So if your love for the world is greater than your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, trust me, take this to the bank. Tell everybody you met a man from Africa who loves you enough to say you're not saved. You're going to hell, just to be blunt with you. I'm so glad nobody's shouting today. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. The Bible says, if any man will come after me. That's Jesus talking. Am I still in the book? He said, pick up your cross. Deny yourself. And follow me. Amen, somebody. So if you look the same like you are 5 years ago, you ain't saved. You just need somebody to love you enough to tell you. If a man, a woman is in Christ, that person is a new creature. That's right, Reverend. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You can tell when you see a child of God. So I don't want these kids to believe all your religious stuff. Amen. No. Not under my watch. I want them to know the truth. The truth set people free. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus said, good trees only bears good fruits. Those are not my words. He didn't say some tree. You see, that's what religion would do. He didn't say occasionally. No, he said if you're a good tree, guess what kind of fruit you'll be bearing? Good fruit. So what's my message? My message to you and I, before I tell you about his presence and his power, don't confuse conviction with conversion. Don't confuse emotional good feeling that you have in church with knowing the Lord Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. External appearance means nothing if there is no internal transformation. So being born again is not just repeat after me. There will be some transformation in your life. Even the devil will be able to see it. You know, so if you're still lying, don't look at your neighbor now. If you're still mean and hateful, you know what's really the problem? You ain't saved. Just tell them, the preacher from Africa said, you ain't saved. Okay, now let me talk about the sermon God gave me. That was just introduction. You know why that was important to me? Because people are going through the year and they're not dominating. And the problem is that the first base is missing. See, I got it. Now, once you reach that first base, hallelujah, now you can smile now. You can smile through. Then you can go the extra miles and enjoy his presence and enjoy his power. What do I mean when I talk about the presence of Almighty God? I'm talking about when God showed up. So every time you hear that word presence, we're talking about when God showed up in your life. When God show up on your job. When God show up in your hospital room. Believe me when I tell you, all of us need the presence of God. In the Old Testament, you know how they know when God showed up? They had something called the Ark of the Covenant. And God told them, whenever you see that ark, the presence of God is there. In fact, they were so convinced of it that whenever they brought the ark into a group like this, everybody would stand up because they know the presence of God is there. Some of you may be saying, so what's the big deal? A little box, and God said it's present through. And so what's the big deal? I'll tell you the big deal. Imagine if you're a little child and somebody is trying to mess with you, but your mama is present. See, all these ladies, they're smiling now. You think they're nice Christians. But you start to mess with their children. The same thing with God. When God is present in your life, no devil can mess with you on the job. Are you listening to me? When God is present, when you go to the courthouse, yeah, it's good to have a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. I promote lawyers. But more than anything, what you need is the presence of God. The presence of God is so critical. On my own job, I feel sorry for people messing with me. Every one of them went down. The secret is the presence of God. My brothers, my sisters, even when Israel will go to war, they never fight the enemy without taking the presence of God with them. They will literally, God is my witness, they will literally carry that Ark of the Covenant with them. They don't go anywhere without the presence of God. The presence of God is your covering. You and I, we live in a very wicked world. But when you have the presence of God, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that man, that woman will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. On my own job, they always ask me, Dr. Dara, how come you don't see anything? I said, I don't have to. I don't have to defend myself. I have a father who cares. Are you still here this morning? What you need more than anything in your marriage, on your job, in the community, is the presence of God. Amen, somebody. I tell preachers all the time, you can copy a sermon, but you cannot copy the presence of God. Are you still here? I'm talking about, you know, some of them are here, they know we are stuck. You can literally say the same thing that another preacher says. You can use the same emphasis, the same illustration, but no life will be changed if the presence of God is not with you. A good sermon, I'm helping pastors now. A lot of pastors listen to me, you know that. A good sermon without the presence of God is just a speech. Have you ever seen Sunday school teachers? They come every week with lesson. They ain't anointed. That's just a lesson. What you need as a Sunday school teacher, as a church school instructor, you need the presence of God. And when you are speaking, when you don't have the presence of God, we can see through that. Just making a speech. Sometimes I want to rise up and say, shut up and sit down. My brothers, my sisters, we need the presence of God. One of the dangers in the body of Christ, too many people doing things without the presence of God. I wish I have time to break this down to everybody's level. But this actually happened to the Israelites. The enemy has come and stole the Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God is gone. But they didn't know. They were still going to the church, still singing to an empty room, still making sacrifices and killing bulls, and but they don't know the presence of God has left. That's the problem with many of our churches today. So pastors, those of you listening to me out there, all of you church workers here in the house, my advice to you, after you prepare your so-called lesson, I'm about to bless you now, put your note to the side. Ah, glory, glory, glory. Lay that mess on the side and begin to pray for the presence of God. That's what will convict people. That's what will change life. That's what will make impact. Are you listening to me? If not, it's just a speech. I've seen many preachers preparing for a big conference. They announce to you some of the things I've been speaking at, going this place, going that place. And they will invest more time trying to get a nice dress. Try to dress up the makeup. And so the hair, they spend hours sitting down. 3-4 hours fixing their hair. Women conference is coming up. But they neglect the most important thing. The presence of God. I tell people all the time, I have people here that works in this church. They're called protocol officers. They follow me around. Believe it or not, they got guns. But you know, the truth be told, my real security is the presence of God. I'm pouring my heart out to you. You need the presence of God. The more you seek his presence, the more impact you're going to be able to make in your world. You can fake power, but you cannot fake the presence of God. Are you still here? So what I'm saying to you today, in case you don't get it, don't just carry your Bible. Carry the presence of God. Don't just carry your lesson. Bible school teachers, singers, don't just learn your solo. You can sing until your tongue fall out. Without the presence of God, you're just a big noise, a tickling cymbal. Are you still here this morning? Say amen if you receive. The more you carry the presence of God, the less the noise around you. Are you listening to me? Folks will be trying to, but you can't even hear it. Because you are carrying the presence of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 25 says, talking about a young king, he sought God. That's what I'm asking you to do. He sought God. He did not seek fame. He did not seek title and position like many of you are doing in the church. Pastor, I ought to beat the head deacon. And I just smile. I feel sorry. Notice this man, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 25. The Bible says, as long as he sought God, God made him prosper. That's how you dominate. That's how you get his presence. You seek God. Not position. You seek God. Not the accolades of men. You seek God. Not who likes you, who don't like you. Let me tell you quickly, how do you provoke this presence of God? See, I told you I would tell you what the presence of God is. I will tell you why you need the presence of God. Now I'm telling you how you can get that presence of God. Number one, you got to have passion for Christ. What did I say you need? Amen. It is so important that you are passionate about God. Matthew chapter 22 verse 37 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. How? With all. See, the problem with many of us, the reason why we don't have his presence, we love God, but we love him partially. Partially. But when you get to the point that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, the presence of God will be with you. He becomes first. I love my wife. God is my witness. The day I got married, it was time for honeymoon. I said, baby, I'm going to church. She's sitting right there. I abandoned everything. What marriage? What houses and land? Who am I without God? Amen. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. John chapter 14, verse 23. The Bible says, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words. And then he said, my Father will do what? Will love him. You keep reading. Then he said, notice what he said. He said, we will come to him. And we will abode with him. God is saying, I will literally chase you down. I will hang out with you. I'm talking about the presence of God. The question must be asked, do you love God passionately? If you do it, we attract the presence of God. You see, we have a familiar scripture in this church. We often quote it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We will say, eyes have not seen it, ears have not heard it, neither has it been conceived in the hearts of men, what God has in store for who? Those who love him. Those who are crazy about him. Those who are passionate about him. That's how you win. That's how you dominate. Many people love titles and positions than they love Jesus Christ. And then you wonder why you're not able to dominate. If you want divine presence, it has a lot to do with your love and your passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. Amen. Just think about it. The Bible is not complicated, I tell people all the time. Just think about it. If somebody is coming to visit your house, It's not every visitor that you let into your house. Am I right about it? The truth be told, there are some people that will come to your house, you will meet them at the door. That's how far they can go. They ring my doorbell. Let's see. I'll go to the door, all right. And I'll talk to you right there. But there are some other visitors. When they come, you let them into the house. I'm talking about the presence of God. How you attract. It depends on your relationship. In fact, there are people who come in that you only allow them to stay in the common area. But there are some people who comes, they can even go to your bedroom. Hello? Many of you have been to my house. When was the last time I let you come to my bedroom? Because I know you no good. Ain't nobody talking today. But there are people in this church, the truth be told, they don't even live with me, and they have keys to my house. They have the keys. Even when I'm not there, they can go there. You know what I'm trying to tell you? You cannot try to relate to God as a stranger and then expect his presence. My brothers, my sister, if you want his presence, invest your time. Those of you who are pastors, listen to me. If you don't have his presence, everything you say Sunday morning is just empty words. Empty words. No impact. Luke chapter 1, verse 19. I need to hurry up. You know what Luke chapter 1, verse 19 says? Gabriel introduced himself. I am Gabriel, who stand in the presence of God. Did you hear that? He said, you're talking to the man, you're talking to the angel, who stands in the presence of God. What devil can mess with you? If you have the presence of God. Believe me when I tell you, my greatest asset is not my education. It's not my position as your pastor. It's not even the anointing upon my life. My greatest asset is the presence of God. I want you to covet that. I want you to go after him. Chase him. Make him a priority in your life. Knowing that when God is with you, the Bible says, if God be for you, who in the world can mess with you? This is why David said in Psalm 51, and I'm rushing now, he said, create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within. Am I still in the book? He said, cast me not away from thy what? See, that's the key. That's how you dominate. That's how you walk into a room and you change the atmosphere. The presence of God. Moses was so sure about it. Moses said, Lord, please don't let us go. unless your presence is with us. That's right, Pastor. Unless the problem the problem with many of my colleagues, I see them in town all the time, ministers. Some of them are so funny, they think I have some food. What you need, brothers, sisters, is the presence of God. When the presence of God goes with you, you shall be like a tree. You are planted by the rivers of water. You are bringing forth your fruit in your season. And whatever you touch, God will bless it. Are you all still here? Another way you can attract the presence of God is through your obedience. What did I call you, Nick? Obedience. John chapter 8 verse 29 says, he that sent me is present with me. That's Jesus talking. Then he keep on saying, he said, the Father had not left me. Why? You say, because I always do the will of my Father. See, Jesus told you the secret to his presence. He said, God never left me. He said, God is present with me. Where was your secret? Do? He said, because I always do the will of my Father. So I told you, if you want his presence, be passionate about God. If you want his presence, obedience. John chapter 14, verse 21. He said, he that keepeth my commandment, I will love him and I will manifest myself. That's presence. He said, anybody that's obeying my commandment, God said, I will love him. But guess what else he said? He said, I will manifest myself. That's what you want. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Tell somebody I got it. One more secret before I let you go. If you want the presence of God, another way you get it is through your praise and worship. You see how simple it is? Every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving in your life. In your shower, while you're cooking in the kitchen, while you're on the highway, on your job, everywhere you go, give him the glory. Give him the honor. Give him the praise. That's how you attract his presence. David said, I will enter his gates. Am I still in the book? I will enter his court with praise. That's how you attract. If you want God to come down, you know what I'm trying to tell you? Learn to do what Paul and Silas did in Philippian jail. The Bible says at midnight, yes, they're tied up. Yes, there's shackles in their feet. Yes, things are not looking good. And I can imagine Paul look at Silas, Negro, what you going to do? Paul said, I'm fixing to shout now. Hold my mule. He said, Silas, what you going to do? I'm right there with you. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. Every day, give give him the praise. Every time, give him the honor. When you come to a church, it don't matter whether it's Baptist church or Methodist church, I hate a dead church. Same thing with God. Anything dead, I bury it. But the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say something. Say something. Has God been good to you? Somebody ought to shout amen. Has he been a shelter in time of storm? Somebody ought to shout amen. Has he made a way for you? Somebody ought to shout amen. Did he ever heal your body? Oh, I don't know about you. I got something to shout about. Food on my table, clothes on my back, roof over my head. I look at my wife and say, ah, I'm blessed. I look at my children, ah, I look at my children, ah, I'm blessed. I want to pray with somebody. I'll finish this in the next hour because I want to talk to you about the power of God. I'll wait till 10 o'clock because power of God is what you need. When you want to dominate, you know what power of God is? It is the force that compels compliance. You ever been in a situation where everything is going against you? What you need is power. Amen. You cannot deal with the devil without the power of God. Are you listening to me? Ladies and gentlemen, why do you need power of God? You need power of God for signs, for wonders. You need power of God to dominate. Even your enemies, when they see you, the power of God settles every argument. That's what we need in our churches today. We don't need no more program. Yes, I said, hey, don't turn me off. Away with all this foolishness. Having a form of godliness. But we are denying something. You know what we are denying? The power of God. The power of God. Power to set free. Power to heal people. Power to make a difference. You know what Jesus said? He told those disciples, don't go anywhere. Go sit your behind. I'm sorry, my English is not always the cleanest. It says, sit your blank, sit down until you have power. You ain't got nothing to say. Say, go to Jerusalem. Go sit down until you are endued with power. And then he told you the secret. It's Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You shall receive power. Am I still in the book? After the Holy Ghost. Somebody said Holy Ghost. I go to some churches and say, we don't believe in none of that. I go with this. We don't believe in speaking in tongues. I don't give up. I don't. Oh, Jesus, help me. It don't matter what you believe. That's why you are powerless, saint. We have nice building, but we have no power. We are dressed in nice clothes, but we ain't got no power. You can't even pray and lay hand on a dog and make the dog bark.